This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to the Sira series, walking with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. This is, today is episode number 22, right? Episode number 22. Those of you on Facebook and those on Instagram, I hope you guys are doing great. Jazakumullah khair for joining. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. Barakallahu feekum. Hafidhakumullahu awaakum wa afakum. Yesterday, what did we talk about yesterday? We started talking about the hijrah, the prep for the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. After exhausting all the efforts, and then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam focused on the day of yani the Hajj, when people were coming for Hajj, and then he was alayhi salatu wassalam started giving da'wah. And then we talked about, you know, the couple of kids from Al-Khazraj, As'ad ibn Zurara, and kind of they came and they took the message of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, went back to Medina, which was Yathrib at the time, and then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, and then they came back the following year. There were 12 of them. They gave the bay'ah to the Prophet alayhi salam. And that bay'ah was called the bay'at al-Nisa, the small bay'ah, the little bay'ah, you know, the bay'ah of women, which, you know, why it was called bay'at al-Nisa, the bay'ah of women, it did not include fighting in it, you know, it included everything else except fighting, except, you know, the, supporting him in with all the means, except with the blood. And they said they were ready to do it with their wealth, but not with their blood. But then they came back the following year again, and there were 75 giving the bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ, saying, "We're ready to host you." And then Prophet Muhammad told the Sahaba to start the migration process, to Al-Madina. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told Abu Bakr that hold on, because Abu Bakr kept coming to Rasulullah asking him if he was to migrate, and then the Prophet, you know, kept telling him to wait. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get him, you know, a partner, you know, during that throughout that journey. And then Abu Bakr was hoping that that partner would be the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. And then came that night where Quraysh, they were planning, you know, they were plotting to come and kill the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And the Prophet told Ali, you know, to take his place and to give back the amanat, to the Quraysh, because Quraysh, although they did not believe in the Prophet Muhammad, but they knew he was al-Amin, he was the trustworthy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they used to keep that amanat with him. And then Ali radiallahu anhu took the place of the Prophet Muhammad, and the Prophet Muhammad came out at night with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda, leaving Mecca and then residing in that cave called Cave of Thor, the cave of Ghar Thor. Brothers and sisters, this Ghar Thor, when the Prophet reached it, he did not know that there was a Ghar in the top of this mountain. He just was running away from Quraysh. And the Prophet, as I mentioned yesterday, he took all the means. And the means was, he had a guide with him, and that guy wasn't even a Muslim that guided him out. He had another Ra'il Ghanam, a shepherd by the name of Amir ibn Fuhayra. Amir ibn Fuhayra was the shepherd who had who had his cattle with him to cover up, you know, to cover up the traces, the camels. And then Asma radiallahu anha, brothers and sisters, Asma, she used to bring the food to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. And this is where we stopped yesterday. You know, this is where we stopped yesterday because I told you about something really amazing about Asma. She used to walk all the way from Mecca. Ghaftul is in Mecca, but it's in the outskirts of Mecca. Right? It's about, you know, almost 10 kilometers. You know, it's not very close. It's about, you know, driving. It took us at least 15 minutes to drive from, you know, the Haram all the way to, you know, to the place where the Jabal al-Nur was. It's the Mount of Nur. On top of the Jabal al-Nur, there was this Ghar Hira. I mean, I'm sorry, not Ghar Jabal al-Nur. You know, Ghar Thor. There are too many caves in Mecca. So we're going to talk about Ghar Hira later on. I mean, we talked about Ghar Hira, in fact, in Mecca. But here we're talking about another cave called Cave of Thor. That's where the Prophet hid with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda. So we talked about Abu Bakr covering up all the holes, and then he got bitten by a snake. And, you know, and Abu Bakr was also scared when he told Prophet Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah, if they were just to recline, they would be able to see us. And then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam told him not to be sad. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Don't be sad, Allah is with us. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put down or brought down His sakina. The sakina, the tranquility. Well, that's what sakina means, brothers and sisters. Sakina means tranquility. Abu Bakr is panicking. He was scared, not for himself, but he was scared because of Quraysh wanting to kill Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. So that's why he was worried. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was telling Prophet Muhammad that he was scared, Allah revealed the ayah, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, you know, the Prophet Muhammad tells صاحب, يعني his friend, لَا تَحْزَن, don't be sad, Allah is with us. And I mentioned yesterday, if Allah is with you, what that means, right, sisters and brothers, you remember? Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram, if Allah was to be with you, you have everything, correct? But you could have everything. But if Allah is not with you, you have nothing. إِذَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مَعَكَ فَمَنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْكَ إِذَا اللَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَكَ وَلَوْ أَنَّكْ تَمْلَكَ أَمْوَالَ الدُّنْيَا إِذَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَيْسَ مَعَكَ خَسَرْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَإِذَا اللَّهُ مَعَكَ رَبِحْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. If Allah is with you, you win everything. But if Allah is not with you, you lose everything. Am I making sense, brothers and sisters? A man could have everything, but his heart and his chest could be so tight. You feel that tightness in the heart. You may have the wealth. You may have the dunya. But still you feel the tightness of the heart. Yet another person who may be a miskin, he doesn't have as much, but his heart, his chest is as big as the ocean. Whereas the other, his heart is, he has the latest car and the latest phone and the latest and greatest of everything. His kids, they go to the best school. He lives in a mansion. But his heart is like it's tighter than the eye of a needle. فإذا كان الله معك معك كل شيء، وإذا خسرت الله خسرت كل شيء. So that's why I said if Allah is with you, you have everything. But if Allah is not with you, you have nothing. You lost everything. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put down the sakina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put down the sakina, and this is where you and I need today. You and I, we need that today. We need that sakina, that tranquility of the heart. Sakina, rahat al-qalb, rahat al-bal. The peace of mind and the peace of heart. Where is it? Where is it? It is only in the environment of Iman where you can find that sakina. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. He is the one who sent down sakina, tranquility, upon the hearts of the believers, so that their hearts might find ease and peace. هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. It is only Allah who sent down the sakina. You cannot find sakina in music. You cannot find sakina in listening to music. You cannot find sakina in going to bars and clubs and pubs. You cannot find sakina getting lost anywhere else. You can't go and travel anywhere just to look for sakina. It is only Allah who gives the sakina. It is only Allah who can give the sakina. And if Allah was to bless you with the sakina, means tranquility, you'll feel tranquil. Your hearts will be at ease. And if your heart is at ease, your mind is at ease. This is what controls everything. This is what controls everything, is the heart. It is the heart that gives messages to the entire body. If that heart is filled with the love of the dunya, and your mind is not at peace. If your heart is filled with the love of materialistic things, then you are in total loss. Because there's some people who can't even sleep at night. They have to take medication to go to sleep. They have everything, but they can't even go to sleep at night peacefully. They have to take some sort of medication to go to sleep. But with us others who are close to Allah, they may get at some point, they may feel bad, they may feel sad, they're human beings. But they know. They know. If they were to feel that sadness, or they feel confused, or lost, or deceived, or heartbroken, they know. They know what to do. They go back to Allah. ذكروا الله. ذكروا الله. They start remembering Allah. They are in the mention of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah. ذكروا الله فذكرهم. So Allah will remember them, as Allah says in the Quran. Well, as the others, نسوا الله فنسيهم. نسوا الله فنسيهم. So you choose for yourself. You choose for yourself. You only, because there are only two categories. Those, they make a mention of Allah, Allah will make a mention of them. And there are those who forget about Allah, Allah will forget about them. This is how it is. لا تحزن. لا تحزن. Don't be sad. Allah is with us. لا تحزن. Allah is with you. Don't be sad. That's what the Prophet told Abu Bakr. And that's what I'm telling you and telling myself. Don't be sad. Allah is with you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down His sakina. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And He blessed, He gave him victory with soldiers. And the soldiers of Allah are not necessarily angels. The soldiers of Allah could be the guardians of Allah, could be anything. When the Prophet Muhammad told Ibn Abbas, he was riding behind him, and he told him, Ya Ghulam, Inni uhallimuka kalimat. Ihfadillaha yahfadhak. Ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. Ida sa'alta fas'alillah. وَإِذَا اسْتَحَبْتَ فَاسْتَعِبْ بِاللَّهِ. He turned towards him and he says, O Ghulam, O boy, I shall teach you some words. I shall teach you some words. So Prophet Muhammad is trying to summarize all the advices in a golden platter for Ibn Abbas. So he told him, I shall teach you some words. Be mindful of Allah. احفظ الله يحفظك. Be mindful of Allah. Allah shall protect you. Safeguard His commands. Allah shall protect you. When you safeguard Allah's commands, when you safeguard the commands of Allah, such as as-salah, such as the recitation of the Quran, such as the remembrance of Allah, such as staying away from halal, from haram, and doing halal, such as giving sadaqah. تحفظ الله, احفظ الله يحفظك. Be mindful of Him. And then what will happen in return? Allah will protect you. He will protect you in your health. He will protect you in your work. He will protect you at home, your home. He will protect your family. He will protect your loved ones. He will protect things that are dear to you. احفظ الله يحفظك. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. You shall find Him as your guardian. And then he tells him, when you ask, ask of Allah. When you ask, ask of Allah. When you beg, beg Allah first. You see, our problem, sisters and brothers, our problem is, because we're human beings, what happens to us is, when sometimes you know, something happens to us, the first thing we think to happen is, who am I going to go to? Your kid gets sick, the first thing you think of, I need to take him to the doctor. You get arrested, you get a ticket, you get sued. The first thing you think of, what lawyer I'm going to go to. Whereas the first thing you and I should be thinking of is Allah first. And then take the means. And then go to the doctor. And then go to the lawyer. And then go to the mechanic. And then go to the dentist. And then go here and there. But the first thing you and I should be thinking of, if some musibah was to be befall on us, is Allah. So the Prophet told Ibn Abbas, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, ask of Allah. When you beg, beg Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَمْتَ فَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ. Sisters and brothers, listen to this one here. Listen to me very, very carefully. Listen to this segment right here. It's very, very important. He says, when you beg, beg of Allah. When you ask, ask of Allah. And then he says, when you seek assistance from Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَمْتَ فَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ. What is the difference between asking and seeking assistance of, or seeking help? What is the difference between su'al or between isti'ana? Don't we say that in salat, in fatiha, all the time when we recite the fatiha? In our salah, or without even our salah, but when we recite the fatiha, what do we say? We say, ihdina الصراط المستقيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم. But before that you say إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. You alone we worship and you alone we seek help from. What does that mean? That means I know the difference between asking is, you know, asking Allah means with regard to something that I cannot do. I can't do this. I cannot guide my son. I cannot guide my daughter. I cannot guide my wife. I cannot guide here. I can't guide. I cannot. There's something I can do. There's something I cannot do. So when you ask of Allah, you ask of Allah of things which you cannot do. But with things that you can do, such as I can cook. I can cook. All right. But then I need to seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla to help me cook. I can go to work. So you can seek the help of Allah when you go to work. But when my son gets sick, I cannot give him shifa. So I ask the shifa from Allah Azza wa Jal. The difference between asking and between seeking help. So the Prophet Muhammad told Ibn Abbas, says, when you ask, he says, when you ask, ask of Allah. And when you seek help of Allah. You go to work. You have work. On the way to work, seek help of Allah. Oh Allah, help me do my job. Oh Allah, help me do my cooking. Oh Allah, help me do my thing. Oh Allah, help me this. Oh Allah, assist me with that. So he says, when you ask, ask of Allah. And when you seek help of Allah. Let us go back to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and Abu Bakr in the cave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. And the beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, they remained there. They remained there for 3 days. Who used to bring them food? Brothers and sisters, remember who used to bring them food? I mentioned this yesterday. Who used to bring them food for the 3 days? I mentioned it yesterday. You guys remember? Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram? Asma? Asma bint Abu Bakr. Yes. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. She used to bring them food. And And you know something that a lot of people don't know about? Asma كانت حامل. كانت حامل في الشهر السابع. وتأتي بالأكل كل يوم لمدة 3 أيام من مكة وين الكعبة إلى غفطو. For 3 days, she was pregnant in her 7th month, and she used to walk from where the Kaaba is. That's where, you know, in that area there where the house of Abu Bakr. She used to walk from there carrying the food all the way to Ghar Hira, Ghar Thor. People did not know. They knew that Asma, you know, Asma used to bring food, but bringing food with a big belly. Imagine the sacrifice that these people have made. They made so much sacrifice. Imagine, you know, when a woman is in her 7th month, you know, in pregnancy, she has a pretty heavy belly, doesn't she? Sisters, you tell me. I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe, I mean, because I've never went through it, but I've seen it. I've seen women, you know, pregnant, 7 months pregnant, and I mean, they've got a big belly. So it's a heavy belly carrying. You know who was she pregnant of, by the way? Asma, she's the husband, she's the wife of Az-Zubayr bin Awam. Asma, she was the wife of Az-Zubayr bin Awam. She was pregnant of whom? She was pregnant carrying Abdullah ibn Zubayr from Al-Abadila. Abdullah, who will be the first newborn in Medina. Allahu Akbar. The very first newborn of the Muhajirin when they will go Hijrah to Medina, the very first newborn will be Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So, she was carrying that baby, carrying the food, so much so she had to cut her, you know, her braids to carry the food with. Datan Nitaqain, walking all the way for 3 days to give the food for the Prophet Muhammad. Jibreel, why didn't Jibreel bring down the food? They're stuck here in that cave. Ya Jibreel, you know, bring down some food to the Prophet. Why don't you just, you know, solve this out? Why don't you just bring the Buraq? Prophet Muhammad will be in Medina in a blink of an eye. The Buraq that took the Prophet to the Quds and then to the heavens in an evening, he could have taken him to Medina in a blink of an eye. Yet, Prophet Muhammad had to endure a lot of hardship to migrate from Mecca to Medina. So Prophet Muhammad, he left on a Monday, Mecca. And then he reached Medina on a Monday as well. It took him 14 days. The whole trip, brothers and sisters, a trip that takes, like I said yesterday, by car between 4 to 5 hours. Right, by car, depending how fast you drive. It took him 14 days. He left Mecca on a Monday and he reached Quba on a Monday. So what happened, brothers and sisters, when he reached the outskirts of Medina? He did not go to Medina directly. He went into the outskirts, a place called Quba. Those of you who've been to Medina before, sisters and brothers, I'm sure you must have gone to Medina, to Quba, to pray, you know, Turaka'a there, because the Prophet says, whosoever makes wudu at home, and then he goes and he prays Turaka'a in Masjid Quba, he will have the reward of doing Umrah. He will have the reward of Umrah. So if you were to, you know, make wudu in your home, and then go to that masjid, you'll get the ajr. So, the Prophet Muhammad, he went there and he founded the very first masjid in history of Islam, Masjid Quba. Masjid Quba. Alayhi salatu wassalam. And then he remained in the in Quba there, sisters and brothers, with the tribes of Banu Auf. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then on Friday, he went and he led the Salat al-Jum'ah, the first Friday in history, you know, when Prophet Muhammad moved to Medina, that masjid where the Prophet Muhammad prayed or led the Friday still exists until today. Those of you, again, who've been to Medina, they must have visited this masjid, you know, during the tour, the ziyarat or the mazarat. You know, when you go there, they take you on a tour, they take you to Quba, you pass by the Masjid Jum'ah called Masjid of Friday, where the Prophet led his first Friday, you know, which is not too far from Quba. And then they take you to Uhud. These are the, you know, normally the places that they, where they take you to. Masjid al-Qiblatain, the two Qibla mosques. So we talk, you know, we will talk about these things, inshallah ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad went, and then after he prayed Friday, and then on Friday, he proceeded towards Medina. He proceeded towards Medina, alayhi salatu wassalam. When he proceeded towards Medina, brothers and sisters, the Sahaba were there, they were welcoming him, they were, you know, all over there. A lot of course, by the way, sisters and brothers, some Sahabis did not know who the Prophet Muhammad was. Do you know who? There was no social media at the time, there was no internet, there was no TV. The only people who knew Prophet Muhammad was those 75 that went from, you know, Medina at the time to Mecca to give the oath of allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad, to give him the bay'ah. These were the only people who knew Prophet Muhammad and how he looked like. The rest they did not know. The people of Medina, they never seen Prophet Muhammad. So here Prophet Muhammad was coming, the guide and Abu Bakr and Prophet Muhammad together, three camels. So they looked from far, they saw three camels coming. They did not know who the Prophet Muhammad was. All of a sudden, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa'adah took off his kind of like amama or abaya, and then he shaded it on top of Rasulullah to cover him from the, you know, the heat of the sun. He put, you know, his cover up on top of Rasulullah, just covering him against the heat of the sun. So people knew that the man in the middle was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, there was this. There is this narration that says when Prophet Muhammad entered, you know, the people started singing "Tala al Badru Alayna." But there is some weakness, you know. Just so you know, there is some weakness in the in this report with regard to, you know, singing the "Tala al Badru Alayna min thaniyat al-wada." Although it's mentioned in all the books of hadith, in all the books of seerah, I'm sorry, in all the books of the seerah, they mention this this incident where the sahaba went out, people from Mecca and Medina, singing, you know, "Tala al-Badru alayna, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada." وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا للعيد أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالخير المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير داع. And Prophet Muhammad entered Medina صلى الله عليه وسلم. What did he do first when he entered Medina? He came down from his camel. The camel of the Prophet. Her name is Al-Qaswa. Prophet Muhammad came down. And then the first thing he wanted to do is, of course, to build the masjid. But where are we going to build the masjid? So he came down from his camel. And then he let the camel go around. And then, lo and behold, the camel started, you know, walking around. And then she came to a spot. She stopped. And then, again, she went around. She went around, as if she's going on a scavenging trip, looking for something. Looking around, going around, going around. And then she came back again into that same spot. And then she kneeled down. That spot, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. That spot today is where the minbar, the original minbar of the Prophet Muhammad is, not the new one that in the Rawda where the Rawda is. You know, people who've been again in Medina and those who prayed in Rawda, they know what I'm talking about. You know, the masjid of the Prophet. So until today, there is this mihrab, this, you know, where the minbar is, where the Prophet Muhammad used to stand for the khutbah when he used to give that lecture. So right there, that's exactly where the camel had kneeled down. And then the Prophet said, we will build the masjid right here. Who does this land belong to? He asked. They said that it belongs to a couple orphans by the name of Sahl and Suhail. So he called them. So they came and they said, they are from Banu Najjar. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam asked them, we would like to buy this land from you. They said, Ya Rasulullah, it's yours, take it. It's yours, take it. He said, no, we want to buy it from you. Do you know how much they sold him the land where the masjid is today? Do you know, brothers and sisters, how much Sahl and Suhail, those orphans, sold their land that they inherited from their father? How much they sold that to the... Initially, as I said, they did not want to take money. But they told Prophet, take. Prophet Muhammad says, no, we shall buy it from you. And Prophet Muhammad didn't have any money either. He had to take money from who? From Uthman. How much did they sell him the land where the masjid is today? What did the Prophet do? And how long did it take for that masjid to be built? 1 month? 1 year? 1 week? 2 months? How long did it take for that masjid to be built? And what was the very first speech Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam gave to the people of Al-Ansar? His first speech. Because now he had to unite between the Muhajirin, those who migrated, and the Ansar. He had to unite between them to cause some unity. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So what was his first speech? Everybody's excited. Rasulullah is here. Rasulullah is here. They get to see him. And they believe in him. They get to earn the title of Sahabi and Sahabiyah. Right? They get to earn the title Sahabi, companion, male companion and female companion. So they're all there. Listen to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And here Prophet Muhammad comes to give his very famous speech that was made of one sentence or maybe two sentences at the most. Four words. How big was the masjid initially? How big was the masjid initially? How big it is today? How many doors? By the way, where was the Qibla? Because the Qibla at the time used to be towards where? Towards Al-Quds. The Qibla used to be towards Al-Quds. So much so that the Jews, they used to ridicule, you know, the Muslims. Your Qibla is towards, you know, Bayt al-Maqdis, which is towards the north. And Mecca is towards the south. When would the order to change the Qibla would be sent down and revealed? Why? Why would Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, change that order? Changing the order of the Qibla from Quds, Palestine, to Mecca. Why would he do that? Quds is one of the holy mosques, isn't it? What are the virtues of Medina? Brothers and sisters, all the fara'id, all the obligatory actions were revealed in Medina. Salah was the only farida that was given from the heavens. But even salah, it was given as five, but the order to it Like at the time, it was only twos. They used to pray two, they used to pray Dhuhr two, they used to pray Asr two, they used to pray Maghrib two, they used to pray Fajr two, they used to pray Isha two. Everything changed in Medina. Al-Hijab. There was the order of Hijab. No, it did not come in Mecca, it came in Medina. All the fara'id, my brothers and sisters, I was saying all the fara'id. So what are the fada'il, the virtues of Medina to Nabi? There's so many virtues of Medina to Nabi. What are these virtues of Medina to Nabi? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala Nabiina Muhammad. What did Anas said, radiallahu anhu wa ardaah, when he saw Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam coming in? What did he say about Medina? Why, sisters and brothers, those of you who've been there in Medina and Mecca, why the people of Medina are really soft and the people of Mecca, they tend to be harsh? Why the people of Medina are soft? Why the weather in Medina is cooler, softer, nicer? Why when you go to Medina, you feel, subhanAllah, that peace? Although Mecca, the land of al-wahi, the land of the Anbiya, they came, all the Anbiya, they went and they made tawaf. But when you go to Medina, you have a different feeling. Medina to Nabi. Why? Allah, you got it, guys? You got this? Brothers and sisters, you got it? Huh? I'll tell you one thing. That Anas radiallahu anhu waldah, Anas, he said, Ali radiallahu anhu waldah, دخل علينا رسول الله المدينة فأنار منها كل شيء. She said, when the Prophet came to Medina, Medina got enlightened with the nur of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. That's why it's called Medina al-Munawwara. Medina al-Munawwara. By the way, what are some of the names of Medina? The virtues of Medina. There's so many things that we need to talk about, brothers and sisters. And I know you read it, you know it. It is definitely a cliffhanger. It is definitely a cliffhanger. Those of you who've come in late, this is a session you do not want to miss. So sorry for your loss. Really sorry for your loss. It is a session you do not want to miss. You want to go back and watch it from the beginning. It will be recorded on Facebook and Instagram, inshallah ta'ala. And YouTube as well. You know, go back and watch it. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for attending today's lecture. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. It was a blessing. Alhamdulillah. You feel good. In this type of environment, although we're not in the masjid, but we are in a good environment, talking about Allah, talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about the seerah of khayri khalqillah. Khayri khalqillah. Ya Nabi salam alayka, ya Rasul. You know that one? Ya Rasul salam alayka, ya Nabi salam alayka, sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. All right, brothers and sisters, again, thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Please remember next week, inshallah ta'ala, next week, next Friday, again, and Saturday and Sunday, bi'idhnillah. How did Asma know where Prophet Muhammad was? Yes, in the cave. It was Amr ibn Fuhayra, the guide, who the shepherd, who told them, you know, and he that the shepherd told Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr, who used to come, or Abdurrahman used to come and tell him, and then he told his sister, and then the sister went and she started, you know, bringing food to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, right? So that, you know, he told her brother, and then her brother told her, and then she came to, she was bringing, you know, the food, carrying the food to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Jazakum Allah khair. I don't know if you have any other questions, brothers and sisters. If not, thank you again. Thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. One more time, those of you who come in late, please go back and watch the session or any session by the, you know, which you have missed. Make sure you share this, please, with your loved ones. Share them. What are you going to lose? No, you're not going to lose. You're going to win. You're going to learn. You're going to earn lots of rewards by sharing the khair. Share the khair. Go to my YouTube channel, inshallah. Go to my YouTube channel and share. Share the khair, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.